She was born Jane Olander in a small South Dakota town. When she was 15, she was discovered by Howard Hughes and was on her way to becoming a Hollywood starlet. When she landed a movie contract at Universal in 1953, the studio changed her name to Mamie Van Doren. They were hoping that she would be the next Marilyn Monroe. But unlike Marilyn, she became best known for movies about rock and roll and teen rebellion. By the mid-60s, roles for blonde bombshells like Mamie Van Doren had dried up, and she left Hollywood. She played dinner theaters and summer stock and put together a nightclub act. Now Mamie Van Doren has written a memoir about her wild Hollywood adventures on and off screen and in and out of bed. She told me about one of the props that enhanced her sexpot image, the pointed padded bra.
The wardrobe department at the studio had made them, and they had made them for women there that didn't have as large as breasts as mine, but they said that I was to wear one even though my breasts were large, and I followed the orders, and lo and behold, my God, dangerous weapons.
Did you have to be careful that you didn't walk into objects?
Well, especially two-legged men when men with pants on.
What were they made of, those bras, so that they'd keep their shape?
Well, the one that I had was, it was lined with satin. It was very smooth, so it almost looked like skin. And what they did is they took a bridal button, and then they would sew it to make it look like a nipple. Like you walked around with hard nipples all the time.
Did the studio expect you to wear those padded bras in your off hours so that you could maintain the image?
One I had at the studio, and then they had another one for me to take home, if you know, to wear. So I guess they did. They expected me to keep that image.
But did you?
No, I didn't like wearing bras. I always just sort of, you know, I wore them when I went to the studio, but sometimes I didn't, and then the head office would call me in and tell me that I had to put my bra back on. I mean, the 60s was a feminist movement, and they burned their bras, and it was really the end of the platinum blonde era, but I welcomed it because I was really for that scene. I mean, I just didn't like what I had to do.
You were introduced to rock and roll by starring in rock and roll movies. Which are some of the rock and roll movies you were in?
I did Running Wild, and then I did Untamed Youth at Warner Brothers, which didn't get a seal of approval because it was too risque. I did High School Confidential, College Confidential, Girls Town. Well, I've done quite a few. Sex Kittens Go to College.
You even sang The Girl Who Invented Rock and Roll. Do you remember the lyrics? Could you do a chorus of it?
Now you've heard of instant coffee. You've heard of instant tea. See here, you guys, just feast your eyes on little old instant me, 'cause I'm the girl. Oh, I'm the girl. I'm the girl who invented rock and roll.
That's great. It's just great. Well, High School Confidential is about
marijuana and all that.
Yeah, it's a young hipster who's asked to infiltrate a high school and find out who's dealing dope. And it's very moralistic at the end about how this could happen in your school.
Oh, I think it's hilarious. I watch that occasionally and see myself falling drunk on the floor. Charlie, one thing I can't stand is a man who can't hold his liquor. You know, and then I collapse over this guy.
Well, I was thinking that probably while you were making this movie that was supposed to have this anti-drug moral at the end, that probably half the actors...
were stoned.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm sure. In fact, I know one of them was. You know how he got us through his lines. Oh, yeah, it was going on then. I mean, marijuana didn't just happen. That thing has been going around since God knows.
Now, it's interesting. Your husband, Ray Anthony, was a big band leader. And in the 50s, when you were making these rock and roll movies, this was a time when there was this big split between big band dance music and rock and rollers. And you started hanging out with the rock and rollers, so that must have caused a lot of friction at home with your big band leader husband.
Well, I just think that it was very difficult for him to accept the fact that his wife was doing all the rock and roll. The very thing that was supporting us was taking away his jobs, you know, because the big band was just disappearing. It was very sad, and I think that's one of the reasons why our marriage did not last.
You became a mother at the age of 23, and the year that you became a mother was the same year that Universal dropped you. Did it have to do with your becoming a mother?
I believe so. I mean, my image had been billed as a so-called sex symbol, and they told me in the hospital, as they gave me the walking papers. That was really a nice present. But it's just as well. I mean, I was glad to get out of there if that's the way they felt.
What were the first signs that your kind of glamour was on the way out?
Well, when the phone doesn't ring anymore and you don't get, you know, the roles that you would like to get, you know. Hollywood has a way of letting you know with silence. And some of those things in Hollywood are very sad. And I had to leave because I didn't hang around to be abused by the system.
One of your projects now is raising money for AIDS.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Why is that an important cause for you?
Well, I did it like back in when it wasn't the in thing to do. You know, when you lent your name to a name like AIDS in 1983, you know, it was a no-no. Celebrities wouldn't even think of it. They didn't want to be associated with the word AIDS. And I'm blowing my own horn, but you asked me, so I did. I managed to raise $30,000 on my own by appearing at some little places and doing some appearances and things like that. I did it because I knew at the time I was doing it that this was going to be a real bad scene, and nobody could foresee it. It wasn't going to just strike gays. It was going to strike the world, humanity.
So much of your book is about your sexual adventures, including how you once tried to buy a gross of condoms because a lot of the men were really irresponsible about birth control, so you figured you'd better carry it yourself. And I couldn't help but think how different your life would have been had you been coming of age now.
We still had a couple of bad venereal diseases, and also we did not have legal abortions. And if you got pregnant, you know, you lent yourself to a butcher and, you know, and that was quite common in those days. So it was, you know, you had problems then, too. It wasn't all that easy. But I would not want to be out in the jungle today. I mean, I really feel for the people that are promiscuous, and they have to really be careful.
You know, you mentioned the risks that women have always taken when they engage in sex. You know, if they don't want to get pregnant, there's always that risk of pregnancy. And when you were younger, abortion was illegal. Was that on your mind a lot? Did you always have this sense of risk during your period when you were having a lot of relationships?
Very much so. That was the first thing you thought of. Well, what time of the month is it? You know, you're very scared because when you sign a contract at a studio, there's a clause in any act of God that any kind of scandal, I mean, you're automatically dropped. And I always remember when I was very young, I was growing up, and I watched and looked at the newspapers when poor Ingrid Bergman was just absolutely, she was deported from this country just because she was pregnant by another man. I mean, it was just, I mean, that scared me. I mean, I really got scared. And you grow up with these fears, and the only thing I could think of was just go out and buy my own condoms. And if they didn't have them, I had one for them. Well, I just happen to have one. If you want, you know, I mean, a lot of men were really taken aback to think that I was thinking like that. I mean, they got mad sometimes, you know. I'd say, well, it's your problem, you know.
Did you end up having to give sexual responsibility and birth control lectures to a lot of the men who you slept with?
No, if they were that dumb, I just didn't like them. I mean, I don't like dumb men. If they aren't aware of taking care of me as a woman at that time, as young as I was, I just didn't go to bed with them. I think men are the opposite. Men will marry dumb women, but I don't think smart women will marry dumb men.
Mamie Van Doren, I want to thank you a lot for talking with us.
Oh, thank you, Terry.
Mamie Van Doren's memoir, Playing the Field, is published by Putnam.